Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single-story display home in the state. DistinctiveHomes.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Ah, oh, Roo, good morning. Must be a mistake. It's saying sunny. Sunny and beautiful in Adelaide today.
Sunny and beautiful for the rest of the week. I think we've got about 4 or 5 days of mid-20s, which is a little bit overdue, to be honest, to dry everything out and get a bit of sun on our backs and a bit of vitamin D and, start spring a month or so late.
Yeah, all right, we're doing it all for Distinctive Homes this morning. Roo, there's a fair bit going on. Yesterday I actually saw this fella from the Commonwealth Bank front this new committee that they've put together, the Senate Committee, or actually House of Representatives Committee, to delve into banking in Australia. There are a lot of people saying, in fact, the Labor Party saying,
the Royal Commission,
we should have a Royal Commission.
Yep.
The Coalition said, no, we don't need that. And from what I saw yesterday, we are going to learn a heck of a lot about our banks in the next 3 or 4 days. So it's the big four banks.
Well, how naughty they've been.
How bad they are.
How bad they are.
How we get treated as customers. Mm. If yesterday's anything to go by, it's going to be magnificent, because already we've learnt a lot from yesterday about how bad the Commonwealth Bank has treated its customers.
Yeah, well,
And admits it.
A lot of people think they get shafted, don't they, all of the time? And then you hear other people say, well, we've got very rock-solid banks and we're lucky that we have got them in Australia, because the backbone of our financial system. So it'll be interesting to see what the truth is. But yesterday there's a few things that come out that you found that doesn't quite sound right.
No, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. Hey, Roo, tonight if I go home and buy the veggies on the way home and I want to have maybe a steak and veg or chicken and veg, all I'm hearing is we're going to be paying a heck of a lot more overnight. Right. It's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's a big day at the markets, and all the damage from the floods at Virginia, from the Gawler River breaking its banks, will start taking its toll, you would expect. And even a lot of areas, just the soil's too wet, it's to grow anything. So, just another thing to encounter over the summer now, high fruit and veg prices.
But you say, and with the soil being wet, but also, wasn't the current crops, the current crop out north just wiped out as well?
Yeah, at Virginia, that was all flooded. So a lot of the market gardens and all that were just underwater.
All right, we're going to need to ring all your Italian mates.
Yeah, we'll get them up here on board this morning and find out how we get some cheap broccoli.
Where can we go? What are some of those places in New South Wales? Griffith,
yeah.
Yeah,
you don't come back from
Madura. Yeah, no, one-way ticket.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:09 on this Wednesday morning, Ruined It's for Breakfast, thanks to Distinctive Homes. Roo, what is making news right around the world?
Ben Stiller, the actor, he's had aggressive prostate cancer for a couple of years. It's just come out. So not good news for him. It sounds, how many people get bloody prostate cancer?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Actually, are the numbers? Do you know what the stats
are? I don't, but...
Jeez.
I mean, just amongst my friends, now that I'm 52, amongst my friends, I can't believe how many have had it.
Well, he's 50.
In the last couple
Stiller,
of years. So he got it when he was 48, he said. He's only just talking about it now. He went on the Howard Stern radio show in America and talked all about it, said it was very aggressive.
We've talked about it a few times, but when are you supposed to get checks from 40, aren't you?
I think so. Yeah, that's about the right age, I reckon. Mm. Yeah, and there
done.
Are non-intrusive ways of testing it now, aren't there? Isn't there a new, more modern way? I think John Blake probably knows.
What, a wee test?
Yeah, as opposed to the finger.
Mm.
Isn't there another way?
You've got to have both, and neither's conclusive.
Righto, there you go, Dr. John.
You have both and neither's conclusive.
That's refreshing. Well, just don't have either then, and you'll still be in the dark.
Still not conclusive.
Yeah, that's right. Might as well.
Save the finger, though.
Yeah. Hey, Julian Assange. Now, I would have thought this bloke might have learned his lesson, but he's announced overnight that in the lead up to the US election, he's got something like 1 million documents that he wants to release.
How does he get them? Just hacking stuff?
Well, that's what he was all about, WikiLeaks. That was his thing.
What's that, a hacking?
He broke into computers, I think, and stole... very, very sensitive security documents from all over the world, mainly from the US. And he's saying that he still has many, many documents. Now, he's still holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy. they're going to be jack of him, I would have
thought.
So
why hasn't he gone to jail or something, Ditz, if he hadn't done anything wrong? Do you know the deal? Or?
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's holed up in an embassy. I'll try and get the wording of this right. It's not when you have an embassy. What's the right wording I'm looking for here? It's not
part of the state.
Yeah, part of the country, state. Yeah,
yeah.
It's actually so
he can stay there and do what he wants.
Yeah, and as soon as he sets foot out on the footpath, they nab him because he's back in England then. But whilst he's inside those gates of the embassy, he's not in England.
So wasn't there a helicopter to get on the roof?
Yeah,
to get out of there.
That's right. So. Anyway, I just would have thought, why doesn't he just shut up and go away? But he says, no, I'm going to release another million documents. And apparently it's going to be very, very bad for Hillary Clinton. He's got a lot of stuff on her, he reckons.
So the information he gets is what
top secret.
Yeah. Mm. That people would want to know about. Is that his go? Releasing information that he thinks the world should hear.
Yeah. He thinks, why should all of this be top secret? We're all taxpayers, we're all voters. Why should it be kept from us? That's his thing.
Be a few nervous people. if that's the case.
Yeah, but it's compromising international security, isn't it? That's what I don't like about it.
Well, he should be doing stuff that's wrong. But if he's got info on people that he thinks should be out there, it's pretty interesting to hear.
But this story's even bigger. Maria Sharapova is going to be back playing tennis soon.
So a 2-year ban cut back by 9 months.
It's been reduced. So in May,
on what did they give a reason or?
They didn't think that she was as at fault as she was when they first looked into it.
8 times she got warned I think for taking a banned drug wasn't enough.
Yeah. Is it melatonin? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I want to ask the question here. Now, she's been quoted again as saying, I took it for health reasons, for this heart issue I've got.
Yeah, to make her faster.
Now that she's stopped taking it, how's that health condition going?
No, she's no good.
No good?
No.
Well, I feel for her. If she's got this big... No, because obviously she took it for a reason. And, most of us take medication because of some sort of ailment, don't we?
No, well, if they're dropping that by 9 months, they're going to send a message. They'll either think it's genuine or...
Slap on the wrist.
Get on the gear in tennis.
Yeah. Triple M. Blakey, I went around. I saw the real-life version grand final day of At Home with the Ricciutos.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't recovered yet.
How's it?
Yeah, it's like a hurricane hit me.
Yeah.
If you can't handle it, don't come around, Johnny?
Well, I thought the time I went and had the experience of the live show, everything was all very well trained.
You got a bit quiet there at one stage.
Should we say why? No. Listen, but I thought the whole thing was very well choreographed. It was like an army. It was a bit like Sound of Music. You know, when Mr. What's-His-Name comes Von Trapp and blows a whistle and all the kids line up. It was a bit like that. They just stayed
when
in there.
You quote Sound of Music, you know.
He's never seen Sound of Music.
No, you've never.
Oh, you've got six children.
Do yourself a favour. Sit the kids down in front of Sound of Music and create some wonderful memories for them.
I'm pretty sure they've seen it.
Oh, have they?
I think so.
I like the way they wanted to see the new Ghostbusters movie there because they're really excited about Ghostbusters. So Sarah put on the original Ghostbusters and they were happy with that.
Yeah,
well, no, we've seen Ghostbusters now. We don't have to go to the theatre. Yeah, it's very clever.
Yeah.
It's good parenting.
Good.
Hope that
it's
wasn't
good
a secret.
When they're scared around the house all night.
Yeah, they were really good. They didn't sort of run around under our feet and I was hoping they would be. I wanted the kids with us, but they were banished, so I couldn't get to know the kids at all, really.
No, you'll have to come in during the day.
No, I don't need to get to know them. I like to make it up. It's much more fun. Yeah. At home with the... I don't know how to set this up, so here's at home with the you-know-whos.
It's good fun making them, but it's bloody hard looking after them.
At home with the Ricciutos.
Hello, little kids.
Daddy, we're sad.
Oh, you're sad because the footy season's finished.
No.
You're sad because Kim Kardashian got robbed.
No. She's got a fat bottom.
Yeah. I would have thought that'd be a reason. You're sad because South Australia's electricity infrastructure is clearly inadequate and the Wetherill government should hang its head in shame.
No.
I give up then. Why are you sad?
Because Justin Bieber isn't coming to Adelaide.
No.
We can't believe it.
No.
You love Justin Bieber.
Yeah, well, we used to.
What do you mean?
Now we think he's a knob.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're non-believers.
Well, I tried to tell you he's a knob.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you'll listen to me next time, then you won't get sad.
Yes, Daddy. What a about One Direction, are they, Nobs?
Yeah, Nobs.
What about Delta Goodrum?
Nob.
What about David Kosh?
Not a Nob.
What about Jay Weatherwall?
Jay Weatherall?
Yeah.
Nob.
I can do a personation of Jay Weatherwall.
Weatherall?
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay, ask me a question.
Okay, what happened to the power grid?
It's not my fault.
But the whole state went out.
It's not my fault.
Those towers should have been stronger.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime event that couldn't be helped.
Okay.
And it's not my fault.
Renewable energy has made our prices.
It's not my fault.
The floodwaters have made...
It's not my fault.
The desalination plant
It's not my fault.
Hey, I reckon you've got him down pat.
What about Chris Dittmar?
When he's at work, okay. When he has a sick day after a long weekend and doesn't come to work.
Nob.
Anyway, it wouldn't have mattered if Justin Bieber had come to Adelaide.
Why?
Because I wasn't going to buy you any tickets.
Mark Ricciuto?
Everyone's a knob. except over Kosh. He's the only good bloke.
Kosh got through. Kosh get through.
Oh, he's not a knob. He's a fabulous knob.
Another political statement.
What he's done for my other football team is just wonderful.
And you like Jay Weatherall or
Weatherwall? I've got a lot to answer for, Jay. Oh. I mean, Jay's a nice guy and he's a Star Wars fan.
What do you believe happened with the power?
I don't know, but where did we get the steel from for those bloody towers that fell over? It wasn't a cyclone, it was just a big wind.
It was like an aluminium Coke can.
Yeah, and they fell over, and even if they do
not
fall over, where's the redundancy? Why wasn't something else there to take over so the whole state... Listen, don't start me!
I think we just did.
No. Someone needs to get him on and yell at him!
Right.
Don't just go, yes, good morning, Premier. Go, good morning, Premier, what happened? Thank you.
That'd be good radio.
Anyway, absolutely, I'd listen to that.
That was Blakey.
I want to hear you yelling at people.
Yeah. Up next, we got Sting chatting with now Ruin Snowy. You did this yesterday because you had to do Sting. It was only available yesterday,
yes, so
Ruin Snowy caught up with him. Here's his new song, "I Can't Stop Thinking About You." It's out now on all digital outlets. Sting.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
104.7 Triple M.
Hey, one man that doesn't mind wine, I believe, spends a lot of time in Italy, in Tuscany, I think, in those areas over there. Absolutely. He is, of course, a man who just performed brilliantly at the AFL Grand Final on Saturday afternoon. It was just amazing to watch this man. He didn't bring out Roxanne, though. That's the one we were maybe waiting for. We chat to the legend that is here and dominated at the Cooper's Brewery only a few months ago as well. The man has a new album. It's called 57th and 9th. Will you please put your hands together for the legend that is Sting. Good morning, Sting.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
You're talking about me.
We're talking about you.
The 20 cents in the machine.
How was it performing at the grand final on Saturday? Just under 100,000 people there.
I just got off a flight from New York, 22 hours, so I was in a bit of an altered state, and then I saw 100,000 people, so I thought, I better play up here.
Well, you're pretty good at critiquing the grand final performances, and you got through unscathed, so you'd be happy.
Just as I went on, somebody said to me, don't do a meatloaf. I've no idea what they were talking about.
Or a Richie Sambora now, for that matter, too, Sting.
No comment.
No.
So did you enjoy it, and did you hang around afterwards and watch the game?
I watched the game. I thought it was a terrific game. Back and forth, and you know, I support a football team in England, Newcastle, and we haven't won anything since 1969, so I know the pain. And I could
so you're on the Bulldogs bandwagon, were you?
The passion and the joy of it. No, I was impartial, but I was just enjoying the back and forth of the game, and the stamina of those guys is incredible.
Sting, how many of these games do you actually get to perform at? Because I would have thought that with your star status, you would have an opportunity to perform at some of the most amazing arenas before such events like this.
I've done a couple of Super Bowls. I enjoy them. It's fun. I mean, you're not playing to your fans per se. You're playing to a completely new audience sometimes, and it's a way of reaching people. So, I'm a sports fan. So,
it would have been amazing there. I'm sure with 100,000 right in the heart of the MCG. And then yesterday, you're in the Triple M studios, building out a little garage session. How did that unfold?
It was fun. I mean, I think there were about maybe 30 people in the audience, maybe a few more, very appreciative, just with two acoustic guitars and a broom handle. And it was fun trying to reproduce the record.
Sting, I've been so fortunate. I've seen you three times now. And the last time I saw you was with Paul Simons here in Adelaide at the Coopers Brewery, which was just an amazing night. It was just perfect. How much of a difference does it make to you now performing in those outdoor arenas where people are sort of seated and relaxed? Do you prefer that, or do you prefer the more the intimate, you know, amphitheatres, you know, or the entertainment type centres where that, you know, everyone's buzzing and going off?
You know, it's my job in whatever the venue is and whatever the situation is to create something that's memorable. And so, you know, if I'm playing in a pub to three people and a dog, it's one thing. If I'm playing to 100,000, it's another. So I can do that job. It's a muscle you need to stretch. And I enjoy the variety.
What about acting? You're in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. A lot of people love that movie here in Australia. Do people ever come up and quote lines to you or anything like that?
Yeah, they do. I was in, last year was Zoolander 2, yes.
Zoolander 2.
Jeez. I didn't know it was a comedy, but...
Neither did anyone else.
No. That's why I played it straight.
So, mate, what do you do now in your spare time now, Sting? Because obviously you've still got such a cult following. So many people love watching you.
Spare time. It's a concept I can't get my head around.
But, do you spend a lot of time still in Italy? Are you living there now, or where do you spend most of your time?
I'm living in New York, mainly. We spend our summers in Italy. The kids come and join me with their kids, and, you know, we look at the grapes growing. Mm-hmm. But, I don't get much spare time. It's not my thing. I like to work.
You like to work? Well, you got the new album out now with the new single, Can't Stop Thinking About You. How do you think it's going, and how do you think the album's going to go? Going to be a big one?
I think it's pretty buoyant. I think people are, you know, liking the surprise that it's a straight-ahead rock and roll record, largely, and they're enjoying that, and so... I'm
a Zen-type person. What's your mantra?
What is my mantra? Gratitude. Just be grateful. Believe me, I have a lot to be grateful for. I'm very fortunate.
Lucky man. Sting, it's been such a pleasure to catch up with you this morning. Well done on the AFL Grand Final. You were just sensational.
Thank you.
That has sold over 100 million albums, Roo.
That's a good title.
Just a lazy 100 million.
$100 million.
Nothing wrong with that. The new album is out. It's 57th and 9th. It's a magnificent new album. Also, it's available in the, if you don't mind, the 180 Grand Vinyl.
Oh, beautiful.
Collector's edition right there. Sting, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for coming back down under.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
104.7 Triple M is ruined it for breakfast.
Players aren't dumb. Some of them are, but most of them aren't.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat workday.
Welcome to Wild Side. Riders on the storm.
Life goes on.
Here I go.
104.7 Triple M.
6:48, I can't believe it, Roo. Grand final tonight on the ABC.
Oh, grand finals all round for this fella. He'd be just warmed up, ready to go again.
We're talking about Gru and Will Anderson. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. I think the biggest miracle of all out of the last few days was that after the weekend, I actually made it to the final taping of Gruen last night.
Well done. Did Luke Beveridge give you a medal over the last few days? Because
I've
heard you've gone hard.
Everyone gets a medal. That's the thing down at the Bulldogs. Everyone gets a medal. Irene Hatfield gets a medal. Sid, the mascot, gets a medal. Danny McGinley for the banners gets a medal. It's like an episode of Oprah. You get a medal.
Yeah, everyone
you
in the audience.
A medal.
That's right.
Everyone gets a medal. We waited 62 years. Everyone gets a medal.
My favourite headline this morning is that Travis Cloke has agreed to come to the Bulldogs and he said, I will mentor Tom Boyd for half the pay. I can just see Tom Boyd reading that saying, yeah, that's just what I need.
Yeah, well, this is how good we're going at the moment, guys. We've actually got Cloakey in as part of equalisation to take us back to the pack. Mm. Obviously, I think
right.
The Bulldogs are too strong. We've won the VFL. We've won the AFL. Yeah. They're like, how can we put a handbrake on this?
Yeah.
So Cloakey's the only option. So
he's pretty good, Eddie McGuire. He's very good, Eddie. Don't worry about that. He wants GWS out of the draft
for
2 years.
Someone at AFL House has said, young Tom Boyd played far too well on the weekend. Send Cloak down there now.
He got mulled.
I mean, when do we start the conversation about how many premierships the Bulldogs have to win to justify the $1 million a year that Boyd is getting?
Yeah, that's right.
I did hear the word dynasty thrown around already down at the kennel. Not getting ahead of yourselves, are you there, Will?
Oh, yeah, no, we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's no doubt about that. I'm getting right ahead of myself. I'm so glad this week, Roo. I don't know how you do it, mate, because I am so glad I don't have children, so I don't have to pretend the birth of them was better than this. I have never experienced anything this good, and if I had to trot out that lie of, after the birth of my children, shut up.
Yeah,
I haven't been waiting 62 years for kids, mate.
Yeah. No, fair point, actually. Now, let's look at tonight. Now, you're looking at Lamb.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, this is the biggest ad of the year. Everybody's been talking about this diversity Lamb ad. And so we saved it for the final episode so we can really pick it apart and have a look at this new trend in advertising that is using more diversity across the board. But do you do it with humor? Do you do it seriously? Virgin had a great ad on the weekend in the AFL, kind of highlighting the diversity in the AFL. So we're going to chat about all of that.
And a bit of a chat about the banks as well, Will.
Oh, yeah, well, we've definitely got to mention the banks. There is this Westpac ad we're obsessed with at the moment about the Westpac chopper. And I don't know if you've seen this ad, but it says, even though he banks with another bank, we're still going to save him.
Oh, and it's like, true,
gorgeous.
Yeah, good on you, Westpac. I mean, you still charge them a $2.50 withdrawal fee from the ocean, I imagine.
Yeah, love doing that. Love that. Yeah, good stuff, Will. All right, well, congratulations on the Western Bulldogs, mate. You did have to wait a little while, but I'm sure you're all... I saw Brad Johnson last night. He looked a bit dusty, and Luke Darcy and Dougie Hawkins been crying for 3 days straight now. I think that's half the reason we got floods around. But well done, mate, and good luck in the grand final on Gruen tonight.
Thanks very much, boys. And, yeah, it was nice to finally see a smile on Brad Johnson's face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very good. Will Anderson, Gruen tonight, ABC, at 8:30. It's a fantastic show, it really is. Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Drew, there's been a bit of a debate in Canberra about whether we should have a royal commission into our banking industry. The Labor Party wants it, the opposition. However, the Coalition have said, we don't need that. What we'll do, we'll have a series of meetings, a series of discussions. And I, from where I sit, uneducated on this, yesterday, I thought we actually learnt a fair bit. It was Commonwealth Bank's turn first, and they went in, and we actually learnt, I thought it was pretty open and honest, and we learnt what a bad job they may have done over the last few years. Let's go to a financial expert, the finance editor at Channel 9, Ross Greenwood. Good morning, Ross.
Yeah, Rude, it's good to be with you this morning.
Ross, I actually took a fair bit out of that yesterday. On one hand, I think Ian Narev, the CEO of Commonwealth Bank, was very, very honest, but in a lot of ways, I reckon he put himself right in it as well.
Oh, well, there were a few things that basically they said. He had to apologise again for the behaviour of especially the financial planning arm of the Commonwealth Bank. Now, if you consider that right now, he said that there were some 8,000 people who had asked for their financial plans from the Commonwealth Bank planners to be reviewed. Of those, 6,000 had been already reviewed. And of those 6,000, 600 were found to have been deficient in terms of the advice that people were given. Now, if I thought I was going to a Commonwealth financial planner and I was a little uncertain of the advice I'd received, if I thought that there was a 1 in 10 chance but even the bank admitted that they had given me poor advice, I would not be very happy. I would not think they were very good odds if I was going to see a financial planner. The other point also is that there was another exchange that took place in regards to the Commonwealth Bank's insurance arm called Cominsure. This is where a person suddenly feels as though they have a claim. It's a justifiable claim. The person has got it written down in the policy. And the bank simply said, in this case, sorry, we're not paying you out.
Mm.
And the person has to go through all of the hoops. And they're ill, and remember this as well, to try and figure out why it is that the bank wouldn't pay them out. So ASIC, I should say, the corporate watchdog, is already investigating the Commonwealth Bank's life insurance arm. There have been financial planners already charged with forgery. Already, the Commonwealth Bank has paid out $180,000 in penalties and $2.5 million gone back to customers in other areas where people have got overdrafts that they shouldn't have got. So there's a range of different issues that are taking place. But the big question people are going to ask is, do we need a Royal Commission into these banks?
Well, what we need as of yesterday for heads to roll, and I mean that seriously, as an Australian citizen, surely this fellow who earns $12 million a year sits at the helm, he's at the top, and one of the startling questions he was asked yesterday is, what have you done about it, and has anyone been sacked? Now, when I say has anyone been sacked, I want to point to one department that we read about a year or two back where doctors were pressured into changing medical opinions so they didn't have to pay out insurance. If that is done, must be sacked, surely.
Yeah, look, I think that's the absolute bottom line of this, because the one thing that the Commonwealth Bank boss yesterday said is it's about culture. They don't believe that this is systemic. They believe the vast majority of customers get the right deal from the bank and actually like engaging with the bank. But the point is, when you get to the more complex products, insurance products, financial planning products, you want to make certain you've got experts there who are not driven by a sales culture and their own commissions. You want to make certain that they're driven by doing the right thing by the customer and the client. If not, then quite clearly they're affected, but also the bank's reputation is affected as well.
What else do you think is going to come out over the next few days, Ross?
Look, I think really the Commonwealth Bank was the most important one because it's where most of the controversy has been. What you've got is you've got the ANZ today, you've got the National Australia Bank, and also Westpac tomorrow. The National Australia Bank got their own problems because overnight they've had a massive outage of their online banking system. And this is, again, one of the problems that many people complain about. You know, if the system's not robust, then how can we as customers have absolute faith in the banking system, given the fact that we as taxpayers, remember, underwrite an implicit guarantee of deposits in the bank, and there's not many other industries that carry that sort of government and taxpayer guarantee.
Ross, I think everyone out there gets annoyed when interest rates are dropped and the banks don't pass it on. Do you think there will ever be a day where we have loans set with X percent plus whatever the rate is?
I think, and remember, that in many ways, the banks right now are in trouble over those types of loans, benchmark-style loans that you're talking about. Yep. Because remember that when the small business loans, there's all these cases going before the courts right now with ANZ, Westpac and the National Australia Bank, where it's alleged by ASIC, the corporate regulator, that they rigged those benchmark rates. Mm. Now, they've just announced that they're going to put in place criminal prosecutions from 2018, so a person could be sent to jail if they try and rig the market.
Mm.
But, you know, the point is, if you have those types of benchmark loans, I think that's a real problem. The one thing it continues to tell a consumer is if you're waiting for your bank to cut rates like the Reserve Bank does, you've got rocks in your head. They won't do that. What you've got to do is go out there and use every bit of aggression you've got as a consumer to cut the best possible deal you can. And that means picking up the phone and saying, excuse me, you don't give me a better rate, I'm moving to a different bank.
Out.
Ross, just finally, I'm just asking for your personal opinion here because we do respect what you say on these matters, but watching in Narev yesterday, I'm watching a fellow who earns $12 million a year in his package. The bank released a profit of $9 billion. Do you look at him yesterday and actually respect the fella?
Oh, no, I do, because I know him, and he's got his heart in the right place. I have no shadow of a doubt about that. He is working as hard as he possibly can to make certain, A, that the bank's reputation is intact. It's important that we have confidence in our banks. There's no doubt about that. Because you have a look at Deutsche Bank, once the largest bank in the world, now suffering $14 billion worth of fines. Last week, they were wondering whether that was going to survive, whether it was going to crash, which would have had a massive impact on Germany's economy. Now, here in Australia, we're pretty fortunate to have very, very strong banks. The argument can be had about whether the shareholders get rewarded more than what the customers get rewarded.
Yeah.
But I would have to say you've had confidence in your bank because I've lived through a period of time in a recession where Westpac almost went broke in this country. The State Bank of Victoria went broke. The Bank of South Australia went broke. You do not want to go through those times again. They're horrible times where people can't get credit, people can't get home loans. You don't want to live through those times.
No, fair point. Hey, Ross Greenwood, thanks so much for joining us.
Got
to go. There he is, the finance editor of Channel 9, and makes a lot of sense.
He does make a lot of sense. That'll be interesting to see what unfolds the next few days.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:23, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Roo, we are all concerned all of a sudden about the price of our produce. So if we go to the markets, over the next week or two, or maybe the months to come, a price is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, I would have thought, Ditz, I would have thought it will probably happen for the whole summer because when you get wiped out now, you're wiping out the whole first lot of crops. So we thought we should go to an expert out at the markets to get an opinion, and we got Tony Cherolovo from Orchards. How are you, Tony?
Good. Who have I got there, Chris?
Yeah, Ruth. Sorry, Tony, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good. How are the fruit and veggies holding up?
Oh, considering all the weather we've had, it'll definitely shorten produce up South Australia anyway, because everyone's already got the crops in. Most of the stuff is almost ready to harvest, so it's definitely going to affect pricing in the next few months, definitely. It's going to take at least 8 weeks to start recovering from this.
What do you grow, Tony? What does your family grow?
So we're actually from the Adelaide Hills, so up in the hills, we've been affected as far as we're still in flowering on the cherries and on the apple trees.
Yeah.
Strawberries have been hit pretty hard. We also grow strawberries up there. So anything with flowering, we've got no bees out there to pollinate anything. Everything's been weather affected. All the strawberries have cracked because they can't take the rain. So we've pulled the crop off virtually, and we've just got to start again. So it'll take a few weeks before they recover. But as far as setting on the cherries, we're not sure yet. It's just too early to tell. But there's no bees out there, so we've got no pollination. That's our biggest concern at the moment. It's just too cold.
And they're talking about potato growers. They could the prices could double for spuds. Have you heard that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, anything that's grown in the ground has definitely been affected the most. Vegetables, potatoes, all that sort of stuff. Anything that's grown in the ground has definitely been affected.
So we're told, we learnt yesterday that north of Adelaide in Virginia, that just about all crops were wiped out. They're all underwater. What's the turnaround for that? Do we have to wait a whole year? Do we have to wait for another growing season?
Normally, virtually you do. I mean, if they can put something in the ground now, you might just get it for, say, Christmas, just after Christmas. So it'll be too late. They'll miss the main market. That's the problem.
Tony, what about a lot of the growers? It's one thing for people to be concerned about paying double for their prices, but what about for current crops that are getting wiped out? There's be highly unlikely there's insurance for that, would there, for the growers?
Nah, I don't. There's no insurance for growers on crops. It's just too hard to get. So there will be a lot of people struggling. It's going to be a hard struggle for South Australian growers down here at the moment.
All right. What's the mood like somewhere like the Paraka markets? What's the mood like amongst all of your colleagues?
Look, you can see everyone is feeling a bit down at the moment. Even the retailers, it's not just the growers, it's also the retailers because they know it's going to be hard to get the stock. And then also to ask the prices that some people will want. As an example, cauliflowers this morning have gone anything from, $3.50 up to $4.50 off the market floor. So they'll have to resell it around $6.99, $7.99. So people are not used to those sort of prices, so there'll be a bit of backlash on that sort of stuff.
Mm. Well, we're very, very sorry to hear there's going to be some tough times for the growers out there, and that's going to lead to tough times for mums and dads out there trying to feed their families. But thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thank you very much. No problem at all.
Thanks, Tony.
Tony Cherovolo, Cherovolo Orchards out there at the Paraka Markets. And, yeah, I suppose we're in for a little bit of pain, aren't we? But think of these people too. They've just about lost their livelihood, some of them.
They've lost months of work and all the costs that are associated with planting and growing and everything. So, I think they're going to be worst off as usual.
Yeah, no worries. We've got a call coming through, 133353. Good morning.
Hello, boys. How are you going today, eh?
Yeah, good.
Hey, Margaret Chuto. Is Margaret Chuto there?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Listen, it's very hard for you Australian boys to pronounce the Italian name, but it's a Cherovolo, okay?
Thank you. Thank
Stay
you.
With Sorry me, Cherovolo.
I'll give back my Italian of the Year award for a few years.
Yeah, we throw you out of Italian club. We don't want to see you down there for another 6 months, okay?
I'm sorry, mate. I'm very sorry.
Okay, bye-bye, boys.
No pizza for me this week.
Arrivederci.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Football is in the news always, isn't it, really, unfortunately.
Never goes away now.
No, it doesn't. The trading period cranks up Monday. New coaches up at Brisbane. And as you said before, Travis Cloke wants to mentor Tom Boyd from the Western Bulldogs.
Hopefully get the... a call next week and say it's all been done. I'd love to work with him. Obviously, he's got so much potential, and I'd love to help him out where I can. And I guess that's up to me now to earn some respect and earn some brownie points within that football club to earn a spot.
Eddie wants to get GWS back to the pack. He thinks they're a Monty to win next year. He wants to stop them from going to the draft for 2 years.
What the AFL could do, I'm throwing one from left field here, is if you left GWS out of the draft for the next 2 years, but give them access to the academy players that they've got, and they've got a couple of beauties. There's one kid down at Melbourne Grammar who's he might have driven through the Riverina once, but he's going to be in their academy next year. So let them have those players, and then allow maybe Brisbane to get a couple. Give them a priority pick, sort them out, and then what that means is those extra players does go into the draft so that teams like Richmond and the teams at the bottom, towards the bottom of the ladder now, can get some good recruits in the next couple of years, and they'll just even it up, and then away we go.
There's a Midnight Oil song called Short Memory. There was a boy from Westminster School here in Adelaide that was hidden for a couple of years and told not to go into the draft. And what do you know? He ended up at Collingwood.
Who was that?
I'll tell you later. But Collingwood did that under Eddie's watch, made sure that he didn't nominate, and then he played a lot of league footy. Also, I mean, Eddie's right. When Collingwood won their last premiership, they should have been not allowed to go in the draft for 2 years.
Right.
Or any more you want to say on that or not?
No, Eddie's been the most vocal on the academies for a long time. There's no doubt.
GWS haven't won a flag yet.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm not against you there. Chris Fagans has been appointed the Brisbane coach, and this is what he had to say about his role.
Autumn, a bit like a mature age recruit, you know. You never think you're going to get there, and then you get the opportunity, and usually those guys give it their best shot, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it my best shot. So things can turn around pretty quickly. We've just got to get the talent in, train it up really well, and hopefully their youthful enthusiasm will bring this stadium alive.
David Noble was on the Rush Hour yesterday. He's headed up to Brisbane to help Chris Fagan turn around the club.
We've got to become relevant in the competition again. And that's really important from both how Chris wants to coach, how the team plays, and I think how we manage the football business behind the scenes. No, I don't think you need to rebuild. I think what we were able to work through at Adelaide when I was there was the capacity to be really smart and how you manage your list.
Big job up there for the Brisbane Lions, and let's hope they can be relevant again sometime shortly.
Well, we do. We need them competitive, no doubt about it.
Roo and Dits have given away serious cash with the pressure test on Triple M.
Let's see if we can now give away $500.
Well, we haven't done it this week.
And now they're releasing the pressure while you work with $40,000 on the line.
Ah, you little ripper. Thanks, boys.
Good on you, mate.
Take the pressure test.
10 correct answers in 30 seconds to win $500 cash.
Weekdays at 7, 8, 10 and 2. 104.7 Triple M.
Get it off your chest with Ruin Dits Red Fist. For Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers.
Roo, it is Red Fist time. 133353 if you need to get something off your chest. Roo, I've got one that it's actually a bit multifaceted, this one. The Kardashian story, where she was robbed. What's her name? Is it Kim Kardashian? Robbed in Paris. Someone came into her hotel room. First of all, an engagement ring worth $6 million.
Yep.
Seriously.
Pretty chunky rock, dude.
And I'm a bit concerned for the bloke that knocked it off as well, because, mate, just hypothetically, if you walked into the front bar of the Alberton and said, interested in a ring?
You'd want to pick your bars, wouldn't you?
I think you'd want to pick your bars, yeah. Maybe there is a cocktail bar in Paris where that's the going rate.
Yeah.
Tell you, I won't give you six, I'll give you 5.5.
Yeah, I'll give you 5. Cash.
Yeah. And the other thing, I just asked, because I know nothing about the Kardashians. I hear about them all the time, know zero about them. And I said to Mel the Button Pusher, what's she famous for? How did she become Kim Kardashian? And apparently she became famous for a sex tape.
She must have been good at it.
Very good at it. Roo, we need to do a sex tape. Because, and in fact, we need to do it today.
And we've got the bum to go with it too, with what she's got. So,
yeah,
we'll have to keep that in mind.
So she's my little red fist just to start things off.
Yeah, good work.
Can I also point to the AFL Grand Final, which is one of the best Grand Finals we've seen in many, 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 many years. It was a cracker. Mm. But in one way, we praise the umpires. We say, oh, they let it go. It's fantastic. They just put the whistle away. But was it the right thing?
And well, I'm pointing missed, to... they did miss a couple of the frees.
The Hanbury, who gets his knee buckled from under
probably
him.
Probably four of them in those ones.
There were. And they
slide
play
in.
Slide in at the below the knees.
Yeah.
And it's done damage. It can be... And I when that rule first came in, I thought, that's a bit soft. But now, when you see what happened on the weekend, you can see why they brought that rule in.
Oh, absolutely. Could have had a recon and missed all of next year. As it ended up, he's probably got a medial ligament strain that he'll be fine in a few weeks, but they let it go too far. I think it's good to make them earn it, Dits, but if the free's there, you got to pay them in finals.
Yeah, and the grand final really has to be umpired the way you play all year. Surely.
Yeah, otherwise change the umpiring all year.
All year, spot on.
Which is what people have asked for over the years. But they say it's not umpired differently. It's just got better quality umpires on the day.
Don't know. Anyway, that's a couple of little red bits. Have you got one?
So just when you're scrolling through looking for stuff on the internet, Ditch, whether you're working or whatever, and you go to play stuff and ads come on, and they come on that bloody loud and you can't stop them, they are annoying, little 15-second ads that you can't do anything about. So just thought I'd give them a little red fist at the moment as well, Ditch.
All right. Now, have we got a call coming in?
I think we have, actually.
Yeah. Hello, good morning.
Hello, it's Maria Sharapova.
Hello.
I want to give a red fist to the drug inquiries because I should be allowed to do whatever I want.
You should.
Because I am smoking hot.
I can't disagree with that.
Hopefully I'm going now to make a sex tape.
Don't do that. We'll 133353, your red fist.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7, Triple M.
Red fist time, Roo.
Yeah, let's go to Brompton. G'day, Michael. What's your red fist?
Peak hour traffic. South Road. Driving down, you think there's a major accident. Takes you about half an hour to get there, and you're looking around for ambulance. All you see is a police officer pulling someone over for a phone. On the phone or something.
Well, I'm blocking the traffic.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be doing that.
Pull around the corner or something, but no.
Yeah, pull them into a side street. That's the way to go.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Good on you, Michael. Well done.
Let's go to Perilla. G'day, Tass.
How you going, boys?
Good. Who do you want to give a red fist to?
Well, I'm just thinking I should red fist that song, but never liked it. First to Ford and now to Holden, advertising the good old Aussie Utes now as trucks. It just does my head in.
Yeah, it's a Ute, isn't it?
It's a Ute. They're bloody Utes. They we're the best at building Utes in the world, and I've gone back to calling them trucks like the Yanks. Like, why give up our Aussie stuff for Americanisms? Like. Oh, it does my head in.
I think I like you, Tess.
Ring
back
you, Tess.
More often, please. Yeah. Jim from, where are you from, Direct. Jim?
Direct.
Yep. Righto,
don't
Jim.
Know where that is,
you're in
no.
first.
Where is it again?
It's
you
out near
us.
Burton, isn't it?
Yeah, the other side of Burton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Righto, Jim, you're red fist.
Okay, the council that owns the flag on Port Road, the big flagpole there.
Yeah.
Where's the flag gone?
Oh, someone knocked it off.
The last 2 weeks, right. I haven't seen it up there.
Now, this is at Hindmarsh there.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a high. Is there a Hindmarsh council? I'm
Charles
not sure.
Charles Sturt, I reckon.
Charles Sturt. Where the hell's the flag gone?
What are you worried?
You know, display a bloody flag. Where is it?
Oh, the big Australian flag. Is that what she's
Yeah, the big
there?
Australian flag. Yeah. Yeah. Where's it gone?
All okay. Right. Have you got something to tell us or.
I'm not, you got to tell me where it is.
Okay.
It was there, then it's gone. It's disappeared. Now, where's our Australian flag gone?
Right. Someone from Charles Sturt Council, if you're listening, give us a call and let us know what's happened with the Aussie flag, because Jim from Direct's a bit concerned at the moment. Let's go to Freeling. How are you, David?
Yeah, not too bad, guys.
Who do you want to give a red fist to?
Solar companies.
Was that?
Yeah, we got solar put on a couple of weeks ago, and they said they'll connect it all up. They left the building going, no, we can't connect it. You have to go see your electricity provider. So another couple of $100 out of our pocket to get the electricity and solar connected as one.
Well, that's no good. Do you reckon you were lied to, or did you misunderstood?
I personally think I misunderstood, but when they say they can connect solar, I was expecting it to be connected.
Yeah, the old fine print, eh, Dave? The old fine print.
I thought you just put them in and turn the sun on.
Just turn the sun on and the money rolls in. Let's go to Paraka. G'day, Rosa.
Hello, Harry. How are you?
Good, Rosa.
Thank you for answering my call. I've never been able to get through.
Oh, well, you got through now and you can unload on someone for a red fist.
Yeah, my red fist today goes to all those people that are too lazy to put the trolleys back when they do their shopping and just leave them all over the car park, scratching people's cars. And, yeah, you've forever seen trolleys at bus stops and on the footpaths and people take them home. It just makes everything look so untidy. And
yeah, it does. So, yeah, you're right.
So, you know, so that's my red fist for the day.
Rosa, do they still have the old trolley pushers out of places like they used to, the young kids earning a dollar?
Yeah, well, that's right. That's what they should bring back. And I think people might just respect because they're not cheap to maintain those trolleys. So, I was out shopping with my mum last Friday, 84 years old, and I was trying to find a car park and it was raining and, you know, you pull up and there's a trolley there and I have to get out and take... It's just,
lazy.
People just lazy.
Yeah, right. Good on you, Rosa.
I'll tell you what we do, Ru. You know, you put your dollar coin in or your $2 coin into the trolley to get your refund. $20. $20 deposit. Bring your trolley back, get your $20.
So what are you going to put 20 in?
Hand over a 20, hand over
a... Or can you put a dollar in and get 20 back?
No, it's not a poker machine. No. No.
Do you put coins in for trolleys at supermarkets?
Oh, this is fantastic. So you do the shopping in your family, don't you?
Are you serious? Do you or not?
Coin operated.
Okay.
And when you take it back, your money comes out.
Right. Well, that's a good idea. I thought you were just talking about the ones at the airport where you have to do it.
No.
Now, there's two people I want to give. I'm going to give $100 away to two people today. I'm going to break rules here because I want Tass from Perula to win $100 bucks.
Yep.
But I also like Rosa. She had a little Italian accent there that I detected. So Rosa from Paraka.
In future, you know, you got anyone out there ring with an Italian accent. Just bung it on.
No, good on Rosa. She made a good point there. So two people getting $100 today thanks to Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single-story display home in the state. DistinctiveHomes.com.au 104.7 Triple M. Oh.